Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
That's my cue to talk.
That's your cue.
I better talk. Well, you know, we start hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment, produced by you, dude, chica, Melissa
chica.
Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And today, your history moment, I'm talking to you.
Me.
Your history moment.
My moment.
Describes female lawyers in El Paso, one dating back to the early 1900s.
Female frontier lawyers. Female lawyers are commonplace in the world of law practice and the judicial system today. In fact, native El Pasoan Sandra Day O'Connor was the first woman to sit on the bench of the U.S. Supreme Court from 1981 to 2002. But let's step back and meet El Paso's first female lawyer, Ethel Shirley Abbott, who was born in 1887 and was the daughter of the famous George Scarborough, an El Paso U.S. Deputy Marshal and later head of the Southwest New Mexico Cattle Association Range Detectives. So Ethel grew up very familiar with frontier law. Upon marrying George Abbott in 1899, Ethel and George made future plans for them both to move to Tennessee, where they would attend Cumberland University, get their law degrees, and return home to El Paso to set up their law practice together. This quite possibly made Ethel the only female lawyer west of Dallas. But one thing for sure is, she was the first and only woman lawyer in El Paso at that time. In 1909, Ethel's husband George became the assistant county attorney for El Paso, and Ethel continued in her private practice until her husband's untimely death in 1921, at which time the county decided to appoint Ethel to replace her husband as assistant county attorney. Years later, Ethel left the practice of law to become a plat clerk for the county and retired in 1945. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Oh, you're all allied with those people.
Oh,
Alliance.
Yes, yes. Fascinating, though, you think about the history of the women. I mean, a Supreme Court justice from El Paso, the first woman.
Austin High School.
Yeah, Austin High School. Ethel was, besides, you know, being a first lawyer, she was also first female prosecutor in
Texas.
But
her father was a gunslinger.
Well, no, he wasn't. Well, George Scarborough really wasn't. He was on the right side of the law. He was a U.S. deputy marshal.
He killed a person.
Well, he killed Selman because Selman
yeah.
was slime ball. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. That wasn't nice.
Are you ready for the hit? Just lay in there, Andrew, on her if you need to. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, I didn't. Yeah, he was a slime. There's a difference there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he actually, and then he started the Texas, or the New Mexican Rangers was to protect the cattle of all the rustling that was going on. Now, he pretty much was always, from what I could find out and read, he and his family were very much the right side of the law.
He was an anti-gunslinger.
Yes, he was unlike many of them that were both, you know.
All right, call Bernie if you want to. Why are we doing that?
Oh, we need to call him. That's right, because if you're involved in the history at all, give Bernie a call. He's with the El Paso History Alliance, along with Max Grossman and many other great people. And you can call Bernie at 581-7920. And we also got to mention, remember in El Paso when, and Barbara Given Bainey and her crew all the great pictures and stories and archives. I mean, good Lord, they have a bazillion members. I figured it's a bazillion members.
A bazillion,
I give up. It's a bazillion.
That's a country in South America.
Oh, is that what?
It is, but also.
They speak Portuguese.
Well, they're all volunteers on that page. And that's one of the premier pages about El Paso. We see a lot of pages popping up now. Everybody wants to get in front of the parade. That's fine. Do that, but if you want to really see some of the old good stuff, the archives are
Room for the Masters
Facebook page. Remember in El Paso when moderator Ken Weiss is there, and the BGB lady is the owner and chief admin. So good crowd. Paul Louis, Lewey, John Hogan, Rich Duncan, Margaret Smith. Margaret's still on there, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. She's still a team member. Puts information up, and she's also from the Trost Society too. So she's got her Trost Society and the Trost family page, and She's got tons of stuff.
It's
she's
Margaret
doing.
Trost Smith. We've decided to name her.
Yes, she'll be in town pretty soon.
Well, good for her.
We need to have her on.
Sure. Well, tell me way in advance because we're now booked pretty much into almost August.
Yeah, I think she's going to be July, so she may not be able to.
Stuff goes on because we got Bill Mooney on. Hey, Bill, are you still there?
Yes, I am. In fact, I was very interested in what you're talking about. I wonder if you're familiar. Another woman issue that was, I thought, very impressive was before women had the right to vote in Texas. A woman in El Paso was elected as head of the school board, the El Paso school board.
So
El Paso men elected a woman to head the school board. And that's kind of a unique thing. Even though women couldn't vote, they could hold office.
That was Brown, wasn't it?
I'd have to go back and look at the name. It's been a while.
I know who you're talking about, and I can't think of it right off the top of my head either.
You're talking about Molly. Mm-mm. No, okay, somebody
else. No, not Molly Brown.
We're going to have to look that up. All right, Judge Moody, you got the history on your brain as you do. What we're talking about here are presidential visits. And like we said earlier, we're not going to get to all of them. But highlight some more good ones. You wanted to take apart and put back together some more of the Taft-Diaz visit. I told you a couple of stories I knew. And did they meet at the St. Regis?
No, they met at the Chamber of Commerce building.
Where's that? Back then,
it was on, I believe, San Francisco Street.
People should also realize. Remind people where the train tracks were. Right down Main Street, the north side of the plaza. And right now, if you had a train going down there, you'd hit the parking lot, and then you'd hit the back of the theater, and then you'd hit the convention center. All that has been constructed since the trains were removed in the early 1960s, down under into the trainway, about a half a block away. But in the meantime, back in the day, the trains used to cut the city in half when they'd stop, and you couldn't get to cross with your buggy or your car later on. And up until the late 1950s, El Paso was cut in half on a given time six times a day.
Oh, yeah, it was very difficult to get across. You know, the Taft-Diaz visit was very, very interesting. It was, without question, even to this day, the most spectacular of any presidential visit.
Mm-hmm.
It was the meeting between President William Howard Taft and Mexican President Porfirio Diaz. El Pasoans had been trying to get Diaz to come to El Paso for a number of years. They'd invited him when Benjamin Harrison was coming. They invited him again when McKinley came. Both times he declined, stating that the Mexican Constitution prohibited the Mexican president from leaving Mexico without the consent of the Mexican Congress.
Oh.
That provision still exists in the Mexican Constitution. I think it had something to do with Santa Anna leaving and things like that, but I'm not sure. The same thing was going on in the United States. Prior to the 20th century, United States presidents did not leave U.S. soil. It seems odd today. Thomas Jefferson believed the United States Constitution implied that if the president left the United States during his term of office, he would temporarily or permanently lose his power to govern.
Wow.
And so he set the precedent that no American president would leave the United States. It was first challenged by Teddy Roosevelt in 1906, and he decided, because he wanted to build the canal in Panama, I'm going to Panama. There's pictures of him on there. But anyway, he got away with it by saying, hey, this is our territory, because the canal at that time was ceded over by Panama to the United States. So technically, maybe he did not leave United States soil. The first time that an American president left this country, and the first time that a Mexican president, under their new constitution, left Mexico, was right here in El Paso and Juarez on October 16, 1909, when President Taft went to Juarez and when President Diaz came to El Paso.
Did they ride the same car together back and forth, or what happened there?
They came in different carriages, and then they had different. They didn't have. I think they had automobiles at the time, and there's pictures too, of Taft, and Taft has got an automobile, and so does Diaz. But there is they did not. I don't think they traveled together. But here's kind of what happened. Taft was making a trip that summer. He planned to go from all over the country, make a 13,000-mile trip. It was going to last 2 months. It was the longest presidential trip up till that day. And as part of it, El Paso and wanted, when we realized they were coming here, we again invited Diaz to come. And this time, he saw an advantage of maybe talking about maybe this Chamisal thing with Taft and seeing if they, if it would maybe make, maybe politically he might look a little better. And so they decided to go ahead and have this joint border meeting. Like I told you before the break, Diaz had not been in Juarez in over 30 years. And he arrived here, again, headed by soldiers, police, a bunch of school children. He came to the center of the city, and that's where, at the cost of $117,000, they began building the Benito Juarez Monument, which you can still view if you go over to Juarez and see.
Well, Bill Moody's here. Don't you think it's interesting that El Paso invited the Mexican president and not the U.S. president inviting the Mexican president?
Yeah.
Why would El Paso have that distinction?
The negotiations actually came from the people in El Paso.
Why?
We just thought, you know, because the closeness of the relationship between Juarez and El Paso, that it would be, you know, if an American president ever came through here, this would be a unique opportunity.
Well, yeah, but I mean, wouldn't you think the U.S. president would be the guy to do the invitation?
At this time, the invitation, and there probably were formal invitations from the White House, but the initial invitation was from the city council here in El Paso.
Wow, okay. All right.
So great preparations were made on both sides of the border in anticipation of this historic visit. There was going to be an elaborate breakfast at the St. Regis Hotel. Now, unfortunately, President Taft had been in Albuquerque the night before, and had met with our old friend Albert Fall.
Oh, yeah.
Fall was pressing him for statehood for New Mexico hard. And, in fact, Taft rebuked him publicly and said, "In spite of your arguments, I am still with you." But of course, New Mexico would not become a state until, I believe, what was it, 1912?
1912.
So Taft was not very impressed with Albert Fall.
Interesting.
Taft comes down. Taft was the heaviest U.S. president. Well, weighed well over 300 pounds.
I think it was close to 400. They built a special elevator in the U.S. Capitol to carry him, because he couldn't fit on a regular elevator.
He was the one that got stuck in his bathtub.
He got stuck in a bathtub.
Yeah, there's stories about him getting stuck in the bathtub.
Whether that's true or not.
One of the great stories when he was governor general of the Philippines, and he was going to go by horseback up and down all these trails.
Jeez.
And he sends a telegram to, I believe, the Secretary of War. Just got back from a tiring journey going up and downhill on horseback through the Philippines. It was extremely exhausting. The Secretary sent back a joke that said, "How's the horse?"
Yeah
I was going to say.
Exactly.
That was my thought.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And the Taft would always use that as a joke about himself and his weight. But anyway, Taft, he had breakfast before he got here, even though he had this tremendous breakfast planned for him. And to see his weight, I guess, he had two steaks and six eggs.
Oh, God.
As a
prelude to his breakfast here. before he arrived. So he was a good eater.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Mom was proud of him,
I guess. But the visit was very historic. You're talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, what happens was here, the Taft was arriving on his special private car, the Mayflower, and arrived at about 9 o'clock a.m., proceeded across the street to Oregon Street to the St. Regis Hotel, and when the party exited the train, they were greeted by Mayor Sweeney and other members of the El Paso delegation. They gave a very brief speech, and they went inside to eat. They had the St. Regis Hotel just incredible, according to the article. There was 150 guests only. Unfortunately, on the women's side, it was male only.
Oh, boy.
They did not have any females. $75 breakfast. Now, you can imagine in 1909, that was a pretty good price for breakfast.
Oh,
even today, I don't pay $75 for breakfast or
not very often, I'm sure.
Or dinner. That's
dinner for
price.
Four people where I come from. My goodness, yeah.
Yeah, this is for one person.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, They had it all lit up with little electric light bulbs. They claimed it looked like a fairyland inside. Taft did not give a speech inside the St. Regis, just merely said, "Good morning, gentlemen." And they sat down and ate, and he had another breakfast.
Oh, God.
And this, he didn't eat as much of this breakfast as they would have hoped. But
he only ate $45 worth, not $75.
Here's some of the things they had. It was a seven-course breakfast.
Oh, no.
With fruits and soups and souffles, martini cocktails, desserts. They even brought in a special chef from, I believe, Los Angeles, one of the most noted chefs, an Albert Wiedemeyer. And they brought in the waiters from California, El Paso did, to do this. I mean, we went all out on this particular event. And so, like I said, after the breakfast, the president left and he went outside, and he got in his vehicle and he rode around the plaza, and the school children all sang him the national anthem.
Except the dead guy. Yeah, no.
Well, now he did not. That was Lawrence. Lawrence Wimber.
That's a weird story you had. I had never heard that one before. You know, Bill Moody, you've got a bunch of unusual stories that are now coming out attached to these presidential visits. I told you the one about a limousine for Kennedy got fixed at the fire department. They had to weld something together. When your book comes out finally, this is going to be a most interesting thing. And I hope you get a good grade on it when you take it in for a master's
thesis. That's
right. Because you're working hard on this. We need to take another break. Bill Moody, talking about stuff going on here. And if we can take a call here.
That's right.
We have a call screener named Andrew.
If there's any particular presidential visits that people are interested in, let me know. Particularly, a lot of people are interested in some of the Kennedy or Johnson visits. I'll probably go into those if we don't hear any questions.
Yeah, Kennedy,
and I'll finish up the story about the broken chair with President Taft.
Well, I can imagine at least one broken chair. I think he was close to 400 pounds from what I remember hearing.
384, something like
that's
that.
Getting up there.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Anyway.
But he was a very good dancer, very light on his feet from what I've read.
Unless you were his partner and got stepped on. Oh, my
God.
How
tall was he?
4'7". No, I don't know what he was.
No, he was very tall also.
He was probably close to around 6 feet.
Yeah.
Well, looking at the picture, he's taller than Bill Moody. I know.
Yes, for sure he is.
Poor Bill.
Sure he is.
How many times have you heard something silly?
Bill, we're going to take a break and come back. And people can call us. What's that phone number?
They can call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Hey, where do you want to go to lunch?
Pepe's.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number
3030. These days, being a small business means navigating uncertainty in a constantly changing situation. So if you're looking for one trusted source that will keep you informed daily, visit the iHeartRadio Small Business Crisis Resource. There you'll find small business resources to help you get through this, including the latest info on loans, grants, and other forms of relief. You'll also see stories about small businesses making a difference. So let's get through this together. Visit iHeart.com/small business today. That's iHeart.com/small business.
followed by really uncomfortable ads. I hate feeling like my personal data is being bought and sold. I got DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. Take back your privacy online with DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Back to work at that J-O-B, the one you realized isn't for you? Well, that's if you're lucky, right? Make your move. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
America has never been so divided. Now, David Horowitz's Blitz exposes the media war on President Trump and their secret agenda to stop him. Already a number one bestseller, Mark Levin says Blitz is indispensable. Mike Huckabee says you need it for the 2020 election. Blitz is in bookstores, or get the free offer and save $28. Call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX. Or go to blitz411.com. Blitz411.com. Get David Horowitz's Blitz today.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We've got a special caller on hold here. We'll get to him in a second.
He's muy especial.
Well, we got to talk about who's coming in next week on June the 20. That's Patricia Kidney, and she's going to be our guest to portray historic figures and history of the West, including, quote, high-spirited and scandalous women.
Yes.
Patricia Kidney knows all about that. But some,
always remember the high-spirited and scandalous ones. You don't remember the quiet ones.
They were school teachers. They didn't make any noise that got in the paper. But some of them were shady ladies, a couple or two. Anyway, June 27, Chris Orwall back to explain the U.S. space program and the new launch systems in 2020. That just was incredibly successful.
That'll be good.
Had it to Elon Musk, and you'll get to Mars, man. But anyway, Chris is a division director. That's his official title, division director of the New Mexico Space Museum in Alamogordo. And we'll talk to him on June 27. July 4th, the man himself, who's now on ABC 7 Friday nights in June, and he is with El Paso History TV. He's back, Bernie Sargent, and he'll be there. And he was going to be the marshal of the 4th of July parade, but now he's going to be the marshal of his guest appearance on the 4th of July. More El Paso A to Z, people who have made history in our county. July 11th, we got the 12 travelers cooked up. I got to call a couple of them still, but we're going to talk 12 travelers on July 11th. And Judge, you're still with us, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, we got to take a caller. Guess who this is? His name is Bernie. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Judge. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, Bernie.
Good, good. I really enjoy listening to all of your stories. They're so good and so easy to understand for us California-educated people.
Yeah.
Got to spell it out carefully for those kind of people.
That's called Los Angeles and Orange County school districts.
So, Bernie, what's on your mind this moment?
We got you real slow. No, you'd mentioned briefly the bathtub scenario. When I was a young whippersnapper almost 100 years ago, there were three things that impressed me at our museum. And one was a boiling pot, and there was an ugly story about that. The second one was a lot of souvenirs from Oliver Hazard Perry, Commodore Perry. But the third was a bathtub that the President of the United States got stuck in when he was visiting Erie, Pennsylvania.
Oh, and that where it was?
Well, it was at least one of them.
Yeah, that's true. He might have got stuck several times.
Yeah, it's a big boy.
Yeah, the story at the White House, but I there's a lot of stories about that those things.
Yeah. Well, they were very proud of the fact that he got stuck in their bathtub. But so that's my story from Erie, Pennsylvania, eons ago.
Hey, Bernie, you looked pretty good on TV last night, standing there. And I'm looking at a picture of you right now in front of the Socorro Mission. And I think they're going to run, I'm guessing they're going to run part two tomorrow morning. They actually had it on this morning in the 6 a.m. hour. They had part one again. Yeah, they had Ren. And they'll probably do it again tomorrow on ABC 7. It's really cool to see actual El Paso history running on local television, because that used to happen with Leon all the time. And one way this works is Kevin Lovell, back in the day, he's general manager now of ABC 7. I want to thank him and Brenda DeAnda Swan and Eric Hughesby for doing the promos. But the three of them cooked up how to get this on the air. And back in the day, Kevin was the producer for television when Leon Metz was on TV. So Kevin knows how hard this is to do, and when you hit one right, which he says we've done here. And you know what he liked about it? Besides your shining face there in the cowboy hat, he loved the drone footage, because you can see how those missions are actually constructed. So, I mean, it's a positive
thing. Take something gold and give a new twist.
It is. So anyway, Bernie, thank you for doing all that. And what else?
We're very thankful for Kevin and team. We're very thankful for you and your son, Andrew. And I'm very thankful for Photoshop.
There you go. Photoshop does you wonders. It really does. All right, Bernie, thanks for calling. We'll see you on the July 4th date, and you can come in here and ride around and be the parade marshal for your guest appearance.
I'll practice my wave.
Indeed. Wave on the radio. Bernie Sergeant, thanks a lot. Talk to you again.
Thanks, Fred.
You take it easy. Judge, we got another break here is happening. I know I told you we were going to do this to you, but get your story queued up. We got to come back and talk about El Paso Inc. and those kind of things. But then after that, we got a long segment, so get yourself ready for that, okay?
I'll be ready.
Judge Bill Moody's on the
Socorro Mission, very, very dear to my heart.
Oh, why is that?
My wife and I were married there about 45 years ago.
Well, you know, it's been renovated.
In November.
And been renovated completely since then.
Oh, yeah.
And we have Sheldon Hall to thank for that. And that's another whole legacy story we got around here. Anyway, Judge, put yourself on hold there. We'll be back in a minute. And you want to do the phone number again?
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
And go to lunch at
Amigos at 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with the free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Amigos on Montana has traditional El Paso Mexican food, plus salads, chicken, and chocolate flan. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos!
With over 19 years of experience in the El Paso real estate market, Patrick Tuttle has successfully navigated the ups and downs of uncertain markets, including the last recession, and he can assist you in buying or selling in the current market. Call him today, 915-588-1850.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle with Legacy Real Estate Services. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me. Call me today at 915-588-1850. 588-1850.
It's your friend Sean Hannity here. You know, investing in real estate around this great country is something that I take very seriously. Now, I can tell you there are a lot of agents or national companies. They look good on paper or make big incentives or may even offer to work for less money. But one thing I've learned over the years is details in real estate mean serious dollars. Now, I have seen firsthand the importance of working with and trusting the advice of an agent who truly has their hand on the pulse of the local market and have proven track records of making sellers money in that city through good markets and challenging markets. There's only one agent I trust, and I'm talking about Brian Birds of Century 21 Hagerty. Look, the only thing more expensive than hiring an expert is hiring an amateur. Don't trust your home to just anyone. I've done the homework. Talk to the agent that I trust for the best advice in El Paso. Call Brian Birds right now at 751-1500 or online at brianbirds.com. That's Brian Birds, B-U-R-D-S.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help now today at 800-833-0112. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready for this week only in El Paso Inc. You better be ready.
An extended interview with the director of Border Rec, who talks about how they help El Paso prepare for the worst and how they are responding to the pandemic.
You read the third one first. Are El Paso's COVID-19 incidences and death rates higher than other large Texas cities? Now read the first one.
Yes, sir.
The
big list of some of the biggest construction projects transforming in El Paso.
Celebrating its 25th year, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
To order your copy of El Paso Inc., go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, protests are prompting our one city rep to say body cameras for police are the answer for better transparency. Police say they can't afford them. That's the topic of ABC 7 Extra Sunday night.
Host Saul Sines moderates a cost-benefit analysis of police body cams Sunday night at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7 Extra.
Somebody's talking about putting those live online. That would just be a little spooky.
Oh, that's wrong.
Well, they canceled the cop show, so let's go with... Ooh,
I know.
Can you imagine? No, don't do that.
That's interesting.
That could be just more than nonsense.
And you know, I will say, I want to read the order the story on Border Rec, which is the Regional Advisory Council, because I was involved a little bit when they first started out in 1992 as Red Cross.
Border Rec.
Yeah.
That sounds like you're mispronouncing something.
I know, it's a misnomer. I mean, I was like, why don't they just say, oh, I guess I want to keep it short, so...
Okay, we're done with that?
Yes, we're done
with
that.
Let's talk to the judge. Hey, Judge Bill Moody, we got you on now. You got a full segment coming here. Where do you want to go, dude? Presidential visits.
Well, let me finish up the Tab Diaz.
Okay.
I'll go back and finish up a little bit on the young boy that got killed. I didn't finish that whole story.
I never heard
that.
Anyway,
But County Attorney Tom Lee actually brought criminal charges against this young man, Neil Morgan. He was 14 years old. And he was indicted just, 10 days after the stabbing, charged and indicted with murder with malice, which was a capital offense at the time. They had a bond hearing soon after, and his father bonded him out for $200. And I went through my own court records to try to find out what happened to the case. And as I did, several times the case was continued, and then it just disappeared from the court records.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know if it's still pending in my court or not.
But it was your court?
I think the defendant is deceased. So
it would have been your court that had this going on?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
my.
It would have been in my court.
What is your court? What is the name of your court? What is your court?
34th District Court.
I couldn't find that. Okay.
My hat's off to you for your service, sir, because that sounds like a hard job.
It is not an easy one.
That's what I meant.
And I even, the key witness in that case, I don't know if you ever remember Joe Calamia, very noted El Paso defense attorney.
Oh, my God, yes. Calamia, yeah. I know that name.
Well, anyway, his father was the key eyewitness in that stabbing.
Oh,
and I even got
serious?
To talk to
oh, as a
Joe
student,
about
as,
that.
As...
And his dad told he told me about what his dad told him about it. But,
oh, my gosh.
And then when you talked about Patricia Kidney, she was the one that actually showed me Wimber's gravesite out at Concordia.
So, Patricia Kidney knows where all the bodies are buried. Just remember that.
I couldn't find it, but she did, and I got a picture of it now, and she showed me where it was.
She didn't put all of them there, but she knows how to find them. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So anyway, if we get back to President Diaz and Taft.
I dare you. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, Diaz left the Juarez Customs House at about 11 o'clock that morning, went by carriage, fit for a king. He was big on his status there. and by a large contingent of Mexican infantry and cavalry soldiers, crossed the Santa Fe Street Bridge to a 21-gun salute, and then became this controversy. What do we do about this Chamizal area? Because the area between the bridge and 7th Street was claimed by both the United States and Mexico.
Okay, yeah.
And so what they did was they set up President Diaz traveled by carriage with his contingency to 7th Street. And then he got into the U.S. carriage. And, of course, along this route were both lined by U.S. and Mexican military. So that both sides, even though it was actually occupied by the United States, we let them have their soldiers there and let Diaz give the claim that he was on Mexican soil. He then goes to the and he was traveling with the Secretary of War and also the governor of Chihuahua, Governor Creel. He met, there was about a 15-minute private meeting between the two. There was an official meeting where you have that picture, and now that I've ventured into that picture, but that is the official.
You look good.
The official picture at the Customs House, I mean at the Chamber of Commerce building, which you asked where it was located, and I believe it was on, I think I said San Francisco Street.
That's what you said, yeah.
I think it was very, very close to where the
Convention Center is now.
Convention Center is right now. And anyway, they probably talked about Chamizal because there's a later letter from Taft to his wife about the meeting and him saying that it was going to look difficult, that Mexico was in a difficult position. Diaz's political stock in Mexico was on the decline. This area that they were looking at was a low slum area in El Paso. And he said, look, in this letter, he says, you know, we've got over $2 billion worth of American capital invested in Mexico. And it'll look good, maybe politically, if we give back this little piece of land to Mexico.
Real quick aside, Judge. The reason Mexico was losing land was that the river moved by natural causes. And the treaty was
right. That
the center point of the deepest part of the river is the boundary. And the boundary kept moving south, and we got Mexican land for free, and they didn't like it. And you can't blame them. Go ahead.
Well, and then you end up with there's going to be, after this occurred, I'm surmising, but there was the Arbitration Commission of 1911. And the 1911 commission was set up, I believe, to probably give that land back to Mexico. But then all of a sudden, Diaz gets deposed, and now that isn't important anymore. And we don't give it back. We dispute the arbitration, and it just remains in limbo until the 1960s when Kennedy and Johnson, well, Kennedy meets with President Mateos in Mexico City in 1962.
The Mexican Revolution hit the fan right then, and it would have been kind of weird anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, it like I said, and so Taft kind of punted. What he did was he just said, well, I'm going to leave that problem for my successor, Woodrow Wilson.
Right.
And he can handle the problem. And, of course, Wilson had a rather less than stellar handling of the whole complex revolutionary process in Mexico and the United States.
Right.
A lot of bad feelings over all that. Your friend Pancho Villa.
My friend. Yes.
Your buddy.
And, well, you even told me the good story about his,
Pancho Villa's fighting rooster, his attack chicken was named Woodrow Wilson, yes.
So that, I didn't know that.
That in your book. But Pancho doesn't count in a presidential visit. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay, move on.
All right. So, well, anyway, after the visit here, Diaz went back to Juarez, and then the Mexican government spent over $100,000 improving the entire area around the customs house and a lot of the egress and ingress in that area, the bridge area. They'd put up Corinthian columns. Like I said, they made the rooms inside the Customs House looked like the Palace at Versailles.
Those are $1909. That's a lot of money.
$1909, $100,000.
Isn't that building right behind the church there in downtown Juarez? Isn't it right behind?
Yeah.
It's right behind the
Customs House is right in that area, yeah.
Okay.
And, in fact, he brought with him in special crates the Habsburg silverware plates, gold-studded and plates.
Oh, my goodness.
And from, you know, from what had been taken from the Habsburgs after Maximilian had been deposed in Mexico. And he brought all of that up here so that they would have this impressive dinner that evening with President Taft. There were like 10,000 people participated in the El Paso parade. I mean, it was a huge parade.
Oh, yeah.
Taft then went over and spoke at Cleveland Square very briefly. And I'll quote just a really interesting part of his speech. He was very familiar with Spanish customs because, as I said, he had been governor general of the Philippines after the United States took the Philippines. The Philippines had been occupied by the Spanish for many, many, many years. And he said, let me get the part of his speech here. I might stop here to pay tribute to the descendants of Spain, for I have met them in all parts of the world. And I must state that the Anglo-Saxons are a little bit inclined to think they are the whole show and have little to learn from anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But when you travel over the world, you see the courtesies and personalities of many, many people, and you come across a nation not quite so vociferous as us, and they can teach you a few of the finer details. And so that was kind of an interesting comment that he made. After that visit, he went to the Sheldon Hotel, where they had a little suite for him to rest up before he had to go over to for the formal dinner in at the Customs House. He had a light lunch, and then he met with his Ohio Society friends. There were about 100 of them here. They brought him a 2 foot high and 2.5 feet in diameter sombrero.
Oh,
weighed 12 pounds, decorated in gold and silver, and made especially for him at the cost of $200. Let me go back one thing. I did forget at the Customs House. They had President Taft sat down in a chair. No, not the Customs House. At the Chamber of Commerce here in El Paso. The chair cracked.
I bet.
Well, Diaz saw that, and of course it was embarrassing. When he went back to Mexico, he made sure that the chair that President Taft would sit in, he got two or three large soldiers to stand on it to make sure that there wouldn't be any problem with the chair that the president sat on there.
My, good idea, yeah.
I saw a picture of it. They never mentioned it in the newspapers again about the Taft cracking a chair until after his death, and I saw that in his obituary mentioned in El Paso. And there was a picture of the chair. The chamber still had the chair with a crack in it. And I tried to find that chair because it had been taken downstairs and saved somewhere, but it's never come up. We never have been able to find it.
Missing chair.
That would have been a nice thing to put in the history museum.
Oh, it would. But, yeah, anything
might
like
be
that
there. Who
could
knows?
Be found. Judge, we got to take another break here. Judge Bill Moody is talking about presidential visits. We're not going to get there. We got to come back and just do Kennedy only.
Part due we need to do.
Yeah.
Part due.
I'll call you about when we might do that. Plus, you've got a number of other subjects you can do. You're not just a presidential visit guy. So cool being what
the
it
judge
is.
The judge is full of it. And he knows it all.
Well, no, he's going to help us with it. But what's Facebook doing right now?
Oh, it's been a busy place. I mean, we're up to, let me get back to that page there. We were over 6,000 likes, I think 6,100 something.
And then the Bernie History TV thing on the El Paso History page, I also run that one. It's 4,010. And there's another installment coming Friday night for Bernie and LA.
Yeah, the judges jumped up to 6,265.
Well, he's winning. Enough of that. Taking a break here. Call us if you think it's okay.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call
Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
Hey, it's Mike, and when it comes to upgrading your furniture, there's only one name I recommend, Souder Furniture. And yes, they check off all the boxes. Great value, American-made, and did I mention free shipping? Get started on your home at Souder.com, S-A-U-D-E-R.com.
Join Kristen Bell and millions of families across the country that are keeping kids reading this summer by participating in Save the Children's 100 Days of Reading. It's simple and free to participate.
With 1.5 billion children out of school worldwide, learning loss is very real. So it is important to keep reading. Log your minutes and it'll unlock free books and resources for kids whose families can't afford them. Translating your logged minutes into putting books into children's hands.
Go to savethechildren.org/read today.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows. So when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got Judge Moody for a little while longer, but let's tell you real quick, El Paso Archaeological Society, that's a crowd you might want to join. They're not meeting, I think anybody else is, but they've got this newsletter they send out. That's worth the bucks to join the thing. And EPAS.com, I think there's details on there. But they have been around since day one at that part of Northeast El Paso.
They have their own shop
in the Museum of Archaeology. And so that's a cool place. Talk at EPAS.com. And let's see. Call this number, see what happens. 491-2363. 491-2363. The president and museum liaison is Peter Condon. So see what happens when you do that.
Okay. Do you want a more diversified financial portfolio?
Yes,
or you're unsure about your stock market investments?
I'm interested.
In the light of the ups and downs of the market
lately?
Then you need to call Monterey Asset Management, a trusted source in Texas real estate investment. The community for over 20 years. Give Ray Baca and his team a call to learn more.
Baca.
That's Monterey Asset Management. I can't even talk. Monterey Asset Management, 592-4549.
I'm not helping much either by interrupting you, but Ray, he's a go.
I saw him last night on the news.
He keeps showing up on TV, not paying for his laundry.
I think he has a tab.
Maybe he prepaid. You never know. Okay, because we'll sick the judge on him. Hey, Judge, this has been fun talking to you. We got about 4 minutes left. Pick a good story. I mean, Taft Diaz is an incredible thing. We do have a caller rolling in here. We'll see if we can get them on. But what do you want to talk about?
I want to conclude here a little bit with because if I come back, you know, the Kennedy visits, go back to probably what I call the most. Hello?
Yeah, we're on.
Okay. Yeah. 5-year-old boy, Alexander Martinez, went under the rope barrier when Kennedy came to El Paso. And Kennedy is where all this stuff started for me because in 1960 and 63, I saw him when he came here. And it very much impressed me.
Same here.
And it was, you know, it's just a very impressive moment. This little boy runs under the rope for the Secret Service and police were about to grab him. And, you know, because they don't want anybody getting near the president. Kennedy waves him off. The little boy comes up to him, hands him a rosary and says, "Here, Mr. President, God bless you."
Oh, neat.
The president, there's a great picture in the newspaper where it says the little boy then said, a note attached to the rosary read, "To our dearest President John F. Kennedy, may God bless you always and keep you safe and your most precious family. We always pray for you." The president got in his car, stood up one final time, waved goodbye. This was out in front of the Cortez Hotel.
Yeah.
The motorcade headed up Mesa Street to Montana and back to the airport, and that was it. A lot of El Pasoans went to were on their way to Austin, Texas, in November 22nd, 1963.
Oh, yeah.
Kennedy was going to have a big deal in Austin. They planned that Dallas trip right here at the Cortez Hotel. He, Johnson, and Connally planned that November trip.
Oh, I know. Tom Diamond told us a story. He was going to be one of those people.
He was on his way down.
All right, let's get to that next time you come back. We got a call. We'll slip in here. Mark Calamia. Mark Calamia, ah. you got about a minute, dude.
Yes. Hi. Hi, Judge Moody. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. I just wanted to thank Judge Moody for sharing about the visits, the presidential visits here, and in particular the one with Diaz and Taft. And thank you for mentioning my grandfather and father. I wanted to ask you one question regarding that incident where that little boy was stabbed. My grandfather, Joseph Calamia Sr., the one who was one of the witnesses to that, I remember the family story that after that boy was stabbed, he was laid on a park bench there, but before the American flag was draped on him, they tried to cover him up with newspapers.
Oh, dear.
Did your research come up with any information on that?
I did not come up with the newspaper covering him over, but I did come up with the flag. And it would not surprise me that they would try to do something. The teachers had, you know, what do you do? I mean, you got to perform this thing for the president, but then this boy has been killed, and everybody's kind of hysterical, and it's just a pretty chaotic situation.
Bad scene all the way around.
Anything like that ever happened in American history. I've never seen a school child murdered in the process of a presidential parade.
It's part of our history. Gentlemen, we got to go on. Mark, good to hear from you. You take care. I'm going to go to Pepe's today. Maybe I'll
thank
see
you.
You out
thank you very much, everyone.
You take care. Take easy. Care.
Good to hear from you,
okay.
Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Nice talking to you.
And, Judge, we got to move on here. It's really cool that you've got a lot of history. We're going to get more out of you next time. In the meantime, we got to get out of here. I'm going to Pepe's. I don't know about you.
Pepe's.
You're not going to make it. But we'll be back next week. Judge, thanks a lot for joining us. And we'll do more presidential visits and talk about Kennedy maybe next time. How's that?
Yeah, I'll spend a lot more time on Kennedy.
Very good. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you again. Everybody else, take your easy. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
On the El Paso History Radio Show.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.